Well, today we are going to continue on in our sermon series. We are looking at the power of the resurrection as we go through this time of Easter. And it is still Easter. It's the Easter season up until the day of Pentecost. And that's why I'm dealing with the power of the resurrection, for the simple fact that, guess what? The apostles dealt with the fact of the resurrection until the day of Pentecost. And then what happened on the day of Pentecost? All the things that I'm talking about throughout these weeks happened as the Deliverer came, the Holy Spirit, who gave them resurrection power in living lives. And you and I have that power now, okay? But many times we forget what we have been given because we're so accustomed to being around it, and it's something that's been here forever. And how many of us take for granted things that are around us forever? How many of us take for granted walking into your house and flipping on a light switch? How many of us take for granted walking into the bathroom and flushing a toilet? Okay? How many of us can remember when the toilet was out back? Or a night chamber in somebody's bedroom? Yeah, you all, many of you remember those days. For you young people, you're like, no way. Oh, yes way. You better believe it. Things have changed, okay? And I can remember being at my great-grandparents, and they had push-button lights. And there were times you would push the button, and it wouldn't come on. So you'd shut it off and hit it again. And you'd do that three or four times, and it would finally pop on with a crack and sizzle. Yeah, made you wonder if the house was going to be standing for very long. But today, we take so much for granted, and I want us to stop doing that. I want us to begin to understand that the things of life, the true things of life, this world has tried to paint them over so that they can't be seen, that they're not real, that it's, you know, that was from years gone by. But those truths are here for us today. But what is joy? Well, how about if I start with what joy is not? So to get there, I would like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of John. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John. We're going to be in chapter 16. We're going to begin in chapter 16. So you know, this is the Gospels. This is Jesus talking to us. And I want us to see through the words of Jesus something about joy. And it's understanding that sometimes it's not better to answer the question what something is before you answer what it is not. That way you have a contrast to lay it against. Because again, when you're so used to having something, even when I point it out, it's hard to see. But when you understand what it's not, all of a sudden it begins to have life that we have forgotten about. So from the 16th chapter of the book of John, we begin in verse 19. Jesus here is speaking to his apostles, or to his apostles. Yeah, he's depositing the apostleship on them at this point. So there you go. I made a new word. How's that sound? He's talking to his apostles because they're getting ready. Jesus knows his death is coming and that the resurrection is coming, but they don't. And what does that mean? From verse 19. It says, Jesus knew that they wished to question him. And he said to them, are you deliberating together about this? That I said, a little while and you will not see me, and again, in a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now. but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world and again am going to the Father. His disciples said, Lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. When we look at what Jesus is telling us here, I can see several things that joy is not. Joy is not the absence of fear. Joy is not the absence of sorrow. Joy is not the absence of pain. Joy is not the absence of hard work. And we can make a list that goes on from there. Do you see what I'm getting at? Joy is not the absence of things that come against us that cause us pain, difficulty, sorrows, all these things in life. Joy is nowhere near that. It is not the absence of those things. Those things are always going to be with us. Jesus was pointing that out. You're going to run away. You're going to be afraid. It's like a woman in labor. You know, this thing is going to come upon you and it's not going to feel good, but you will still have joy. Why? How do we know that? What is going on here? Lord Jesus, how can I have joy in the midst of pain? Because joy is an eternal state. We need to understand something. The joy that we experience here on earth, this temporary stuff, how many of us have joy in something only to have it go under? Okay, I'm going to give you a real true story. In fact, it's going to involve my week and Jim's week. I have joy in my Jeep. I love the Jeep that my wife has. Until yesterday. Actually, it was Friday. I'm coming home. I'm sitting at the corner at the bank at Kimmerling's and 7th Street, 343. And my wife is coming down 343 to turn in Cockendurfer Road. And she waves at me. Oh, there's my honey. I waved at her. Oh, hi, how's it going, honey? Yeah, we're less than a quarter of a mile from the house. You know, what can go wrong? My wife turns the corner, hits a little dip in the intersection there, and her car goes boom. Sounded like a gun went off. I was like, what was that? Well, she pulled the smart one. She pulled right off the road and stopped. My husband's behind me. He'll save me. Yeah. Hubby pulls in front of her, gets out, looks, and says, I can't see any. I don't know what's wrong. There's nothing hanging down. Tire's not popped. I can't see anything. I said, let's get it home. All right, we're only a quarter of a mile. She hops in the car. I get in my truck, I start down the road, I'm looking back, it's like, why isn't she following me? Why isn't she following me? What's wrong? Oh, don't tell me something really bad happened. And then all of a sudden, she starts coming. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go, and I pull in the driveway. I get in the driveway, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and finally here she comes, and the front tire is completely flat. I said, oh my goodness, the tire did blow. I said, well, that's an easy fix. So I waited about 3 hours. I went out, and I went to jack it up, and I looked, and all of a sudden I realized, oh my gosh, the ball joint is 3 inches out of connoiter. The entire front ball joint popped. The tire didn't pop. The ball joint routed the aluminum wheel and cut the aluminum wheel. That's why the tire went flat. I praise God she wasn't hurt. I praise God she got it in the driveway. And I praise God that he has given me a technician who can fix it. My joy is not in what happened, but what's going to happen. Do you see my point? Joy is not where we are, it's where we're going to be. It is so amazing in life. Oh, my joy is right here, it's right now. You know, I think about that. You know, when I have our little one over, when Lily comes over to visit with Grammy and Grampy, it is so wonderful. And we get the spoiler and then we send her home. And then my kid calls me and says, Dad, do you want her back? It is amazing because they, you know, life has these little joys, but they are fleeting. They go away because something happens here. But I'm here to tell you right now, Jesus spoke this very truth to these things. He says, you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. There is nothing that can affect our eternity. Joy is not the absence of these things that you and I deal with. We're going to have them. We're going to have these troubles throughout time. But our joy is what lays in front of us. Our joy is the hope that each and every one of us pull to. It is so amazing. All these different powers that I am speaking of throughout this time as we go into Pentecost are all tied together. You can't have one without any of the others. All of them are congruent upon each other. They grow upon each other, and they fill us with a power that is greater than anything we could ever hope or dream. But our world has whitewashed it. Our world wants to placate it. That, oh no, everybody has love. Everybody has joy. Everybody has hope. No, they don't, because theirs is in this world. It's in these momentary things. And that's why you see suicide rates this high. And that's why you see we have a drug addiction problem in the United States. And I'm not talking the illegal stuff. I'm talking the legal stuff that's prescribed. Do you understand right now, 73%, if I'm not mistaken, of our youth are on some type of psychotropic drug? I just heard that this past week. I could not believe that. 73% of our youth from the ages of 11 to 18 are on some form of drug just to get through the day. You know, I used to joke when we were younger that one day they're going to have a pill called normal. And that is so far off the beaten path, because there is nothing normal about taking medication just to get through a day. Something is wrong, and everybody thinks it's psychological. It is not. It's spiritual. There is a spiritual void that no pill can fill. Now, are there people out there who need to be on medication? Yes, we all know that. We all know that, and I am not a medical doctor. But I'll tell you right now, I am a spiritual advisor, and I can tell you I've seen many people who are going through things in this world that are self-inflicted because they will not come to the reality that God is God. And they have set themselves up for hurt. There's no joy in their lives. There's no hope in their lives. There's no peace in their lives. All these different things that I've been talking about are absent. And if you as a human being don't have peace, don't have love, don't have hope, don't have joy, what happens to you? What happens to your demeanor? What happens to your mind? Depression begins to creep in. Joy is not the absence of depression. Joy is, in spite of depression, we know where our hope is. We know where our life ends, and it is secure. It is our joy. You know, how many of us wait, you know, mothers, how many of you waited till today because you're looking to be taken out for dinner and, you know, something good's going to happen today, right? Oh, it's Mother's Day. Something special's going to happen for me today. I told my wife, I ain't her, you know, she's not my mother. So if she wants something, she's got to see him. Told her that long ago. You know, and my mom's gone, so I don't have to do anything for Mother's Day anymore. Y'all laugh at me. But here's the reality. Isn't that the way the world comes at us? You really don't deserve anything. In fact, what you have, I'm going to take. Think about that. Am I lying? Man, I'm telling you the truth, and you all know it. Everything you have, this world wants to take. But I'm here to tell you that when it comes to joy, the world can't take it. You literally have to forget about it, give it up in order to get rid of it. Because God is eternally secure. But that's what the devil does. He lies to us. He says, but you screwed up. How many of you hear that? How many of you, I'm pointing over here, and the poor gentleman's like, oh my gosh, what does he think I did? I don't know what you did, but we all know we did it. Can I get an amen? But it doesn't change our position in Christ, because in Christ, he has us covered. You know, we just sang it today, right? Jesus paid it all, and blessed assurance. You know, I think about these truths. And we know that when he touched us, man, can you see how God puts these things together? I didn't put that first song in there. One of you did. And then the rest of it, God built. Because he wants to get a message out to each and every one of us. Joy is not the absence of hurtful things in our world. Joy is an eternal truth. Because God loves you in spite of all these things. But you know what else? Sometimes we need to sacrifice a little joy right now to gain the fullness of joy later. Do any of you know what I mean by that? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 11. And many of you know these verses. You know, I've used them many times because it's a truth and it's a foundational, pivotal point in who we are and where we have to stand. From verse 1 in chapter 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against him, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. You have forgotten the exhortation which is addressing you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us, for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained up by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. When you and I look at these words, okay, Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary for you and I. In the NIV, it says, for the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross, scorning its shame. That's the NIV version. And I love that version because it tells me, in order for me to see eternal joy here on this side of the room, and that's what I like to call it, I may have to suffer a few things every now and then. Why? As discipline. Jesus took our discipline upon him. And I'm talking our eternal discipline. I'm talking he took the curse upon himself. He went into hell for us. And for 3 days he was in hell. And upon him is our guilt laid. And where did he leave it? In hell, where it belongeth. And he rose up on the third day, and we who come with him rise up with him. But we got to go through some stuff, and we need to let it there. We need to understand God's going to discipline us as we go through this life. He's going to bring things into our lives. And, you know, it's amazing because sometimes we hear ourselves saying these things. Yeah, but I really didn't deserve that. I didn't do anything to make that happen. Brothers and sisters, I was one of 4 children. And then my sister came along many years later. So it's actually 5 of us. And I can remember when my sister and brother were fighting, and all 4 of us would get paddled. Can someone explain that to me? I think about my dear wife. She comes from a family of 7 children. And there were many times when the same ideology played out in their home. Well, you didn't stop it and you egged it on, so you're all getting it. We're going to share the wealth. And I want you to think about this world. Is that not the way the world treats us? Rather than dealing with the individuals who are the problem, they deal with all of us and make us all adapt. Does that sound familiar? Well, I want you to remember this when it comes to God. God is going to deal with you. You may not necessarily have done something to receive that discipline, but did you think something? Have you bought into something? Are you flirting with something in your own mind? Are there areas in your life where you need to be corrected? And if all things lead back to discipline, you know, I think about this because, you know, hey, what did I do to deserve a clot in my leg and you know, all this stuff? It says endure hardship as discipline. God is training us up. You know, I can remember being with my dad, and he would not make things easy for me. He would let it be as hard as it was going to be, no matter what it was. And he would not step in. He would not make it easy. And I can remember being a little boy and I would be in tears. He hates me. He hates me. Look what he's doing to me. And now I'm a man. And I look back and I say, he knew he wasn't going to be here. Now, my dad died early. He died at 50 and I was 30. Okay, I'm 60 now. I wish my dad were still here, because then I'd have his wisdom to deal with. But the reality was, he knew he wasn't going to be around, and he knew that this world was going to come at his son. And if he wasn't hard on me, then this world was going to eat me up. How do you think God sees each and every one of you? He knows what's coming in your life. Do you think he doesn't want you prepared for it? He wants you to understand that you can do far more than you ever thought you could, because he's there for you. He's there with you to get you through it. And it may not seem pleasant at the time, but in time it will bear fruit unto righteousness. Isn't that what we just read? I want you to think about all the patriarchs. That's how it began, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Moses. He's talking about Abraham. He's talking about David. He's talking about Gideon. He's talking about all the patriarchs who came before and all the stuff that they went through. And they are yet waiting for you and I to get there. They haven't received the fullness of the promises yet. And that's what we need to remember too. There are going to be some things you and I are going to go through. But those things are to refine our faith, to refine who we are, so that when we get there and we stand in the glory of God, the joy we have will be so complete, because we will finally understand, oh my God, why you put me through these things. Because now I see who I am, and I am complete. Because you have truly made me your son. God put his son, Jesus Christ, through the cross. Put him into hell. He's the only one who could go there and come back. And he did that out of love for you and I. And Jesus, through the love of the Father and the love of us, went. When you and I think about what little stuff we got to go through, you know, I could run down the list here and ask you, you know, and we're all going to admit this stuff. I don't like having my leg messed up. I don't like having plates in my hips that now I've got some arthritis. You know, we have a young man here with a heart condition. You know, I can go down the line, can't I, folks? We all have our crosses to bear, but Jesus says what to us? Take up your cross and follow after me daily, because I've accomplished it all. All you got to do is get to the end, and I'm waiting for you. I'm here. You're already won. We just got to believe it and hold on to it until the day arrives, because I'm telling you, it ain't long. It may seem long, but when we stand in eternity, it's a blink of an eye. So we need to remember that joy is not the absence of things that hurt us. Sometimes joy means we have to sacrifice a little bit right now to be made perfect later, and to truly appreciate what we are receiving. So what is joy? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. To the book of Psalms. You know, I got to go Old Testament if I'm going to talk about God, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. The book of Psalms. Psalm 16. Psalm 16. This is David speaking of our Lord. This is David, a man after God's own heart, the apple of God's eye. Remember? Isn't that what he called him? David speaking to us. Let us find joy. He says to us from verse 1, preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. First thing you need to understand is, where are you and are you there? Is God your refuge? Number 2, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, I have no good besides you. Are we truly in right relationship with God, or are we in relationship with ourselves and the things we want in this world? Number 3, as for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. Are we loving others the way God has loved us? What's our mantra? Love God, love others, and go. Number 4. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. Come ye out from among them and have nothing to do with them. We cannot play with these toys that are out there because they are truly destruction unto us. We must understand there is one God, one faith, one salvation, and He is Jesus the Christ. Can I get an amen, church? I'm building a foundation. Do you see it? Number 5. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. Are we going to the fountain of blessing to receive the goodness? Do we go back to the Lord every time we have question, or do we depend upon ourselves? Brothers and sisters, He's given us what we need, but what we need is Him, His assurance, His direction, His word, His identity. Number 6, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. Do you see where you are and whose you are at all times? Or are you so caught up in this world that you don't understand your eternal position in God is secure now and nothing can change it? Wow. Number 7. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. God is the only one who gives us good counsel, and in Him there is no. Unless we're doing something wrong, and we all know it. Amen. We cannot be shaken in the Lord when we are doing the things of the Lord and the things that He wants. The desires of His heart become the desires of our heart. He says, ask anything in my name. That doesn't mean say, Lord Jesus, bless my mess, and He's going to. That means do what Jesus does, because that's in His name. And He will bless it and bring it about into your life. Number 8. Which is actually verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Brothers and sisters, David is talking about eternity there. Do you see it? Your Holy One will not see decay. We will live with Him forever. And there is pleasure in Him forever. There in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. That is our hope. That is the joy that we carry with us and in us and through us. It is an eternal joy. It is that which is out there and we know it. It is secure. It is held for us. And no one can take it away. Every day I see things being taken away, but my joy is still always there. The sorrow I have in my heart is for those who don't know that joy, for those who don't understand the love of God through Jesus the Christ, that he gave himself, that any who believe in him shall be saved. Shall be saved, not might be saved, not could be saved, shall be saved. And our world is turning its back on our Savior. And we all know that. It's been happening since the beginning of time. But as we see the time coming to an end, we see it increasing. Our young people, where are they? They're not in church. Now, yes, there are young people out there in some of these larger churches and many of the smaller churches. But how many of our youth have left the church? How many have come against the things of God and they want nothing to do with God? Why? Because the world has enamored them that they can do anything they want to do now. And how many of those young people are taking their lives every day? And they call that hope, they call that joy, they call that life. That's death. But in Christ Jesus, we know that in his presence is fullness of joy. One day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Oh, brothers and sisters, the day that we get to see him face to face, what do you think that's going to be like? It is going to wipe away. One moment in glory will wipe away a lifetime of sorrow. A lifetime. Think about it. No more pain, no more hurt, no more jealousy, no more rage. All we will know is eternal love, unconditional love that is without end. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine how overwhelmed we're going to be. You know, we sing the song, I Can Only Imagine. When we stand in front of God, I can only imagine. Will I even be able to speak at all, is the way the song goes, right? Will I bow down? You know, what am I going to do? I know what I'm going to do. Pass out. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get there and I'm going to say, I made it. Poof. And 1,000,000 years are going to go by until I stand back up. Because he saved a wretch such as I. But each and every one of us knows that truth. If we know Christ here and here, because you got to put them together, our joy is sure. Our joy in the Father is secure. Because we got to remember, the Father holds it. The Father holds it. Jesus sealed it, and the Holy Spirit delivers it. We have a triune God securing our joy. Is there any reason for us not to live in the truth of that joy, no matter what the world brings? Pray with me. Father God, this world comes at us so many times. But Lord, you are here always and forever. And you have just told us that in your presence is fullness of joy. And Lord, that does not mean then, that means now, here, now, for everyone who would ask, for everyone who would receive, and it cannot be taken away. So Father God, I pray for each and every one of us here that we would begin to live in the power of the resurrection by living in joy daily, no matter what comes. In fact, expecting it. Because we know the evil one is rising up. But Lord God, you're still on the throne of heaven and you always will be. And Jesus the Christ is at your right hand until the day he steps out from heaven and calls his church. And then we shall be glorified as we are called up to meet him in the air. And all the saints who have gone on before shall be resurrected first. But until that day, Lord, we give ourselves that you may be seen as the giver of our joy, the hope that each and every one of us has, moving into the love that secures it all. Father God, as we continue in this sermon series, I pray that you would bless each and every hearer of this word, that we may know that as we come to you through the power of the resurrection, we will have life and life everlasting, not only then in eternity, but now in this world. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.